Good morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. And it's a blessing to have you here. Good morning, Rick. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. We are rejoicing. This is a day Yahweh's made. Let's rejoice. All rejoice and be glad in it.
That's why I love you, man.
Oh, man. It's sun shining. We had the spring rains. Everything's growing.
Yeah.
If I can just stay on top of it.
I know, right? I mean, it's growing.
I watch the berries. They're growing 2 inches a day.
Yeah,
it's just wild.
Jack and the Beanstalk. You know?
I just love it. But I mean, yeah, I love the growth. Don't get me wrong, but you got to be able to stay on top of it or it'll overtake you.
It does. Oh, that's a good word.
It'll overtake you. So no, it's good, but you just gotta stay with it.
I hate being overtaken.
And not get discouraged when you don't quite measure up.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, those kind of things can overtake us. I mean, you even see the positive side of weeds, for crying out loud.
Yeah, weeds are beautiful, man. In fact, when I get home, I'm going to go out in my weed patch and gather a big bag of them and grind them up and eat them for the next 3 days.
But if you don't stay on top of it, they'll overtake you.
If you don't, then there'll be so many, I won't be able to eat them all.
Hey, well,
no, it's good.
In case you guys are calling in today, too, for Gus, he's not here with us today.
Yeah, we miss Gus. He's out doing business.
He was overtaken with some business chores.
We got to pay our bills. I get that.
Yeah, I know, right?
We all got to.
Well, if you want to call in and talk with us this morning, it's
503-589-1220.
And we're going to be talking about this whole thing of a positive attitude and actually being not being taken over by negative ones.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we know the enemy, he wants to plant that all those negative, you know, the enemy brings what we can't do, right?
Right.
And Yahweh tells us you can do all things through our Messiah, who's our strength. All things, yeah. Roland, not just, he didn't say some things, he said all things.
All
I don't know what that looks like sometimes, but boy, it's a wonderful promise, isn't it?
Well, we're going to get an idea of what that actually looks like today, okay? Because we're going to actually break this thing down about all the things that we can do as Bible believers, as followers of Yeshua.
Yes.
You know, many times we always think of the things that we can't do.
I know.
But I'll tell you what, that is minuscule to the things that we can do.
I know. I don't like that word, I can't.
I know, right?
I don't like it.
I figured, I can.
Through him, I can. And you can, too. And, boy, don't let the enemy – because I'm talking about within reality, you know. But, man, all I know is it's a good thing.
Well,
that's all I really know.
I think you're going to like this conversation today, Rick. Hey, so but before we get started, we always love to do a particular thing here on The Wise Guys. And that's that we want to be praying for not only this conversation, but we like to physically pray for you, those that are listening to us and want to join in. Take a moment, take a deep breath.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, get that oxygen to all the...
And get ready to pray with Rick, all right?
Yeah, let's pray together.
Okay.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. Father, it just never gets old. Your word is life. In fact, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, your word tells us that no one comes to the Father except through you. You are the one, you are the bridge that bridges the gap between us, Father, and you. Thank you for that bridge. Thank you for Yeshua, the light of the world. Father, that you are indeed, as it gets darker out there, getting brighter. Help us to keep our eyes on you today, to walk as you walked today. And Father, when the enemy tells us we can't, that you tell us we can do all things through our Messiah who strengthens us. And I thank you that you that lives in us is greater than he that is in the world. Hmm. And all those blessed promises that we just want to just get in the habit of, Father, when the enemy tells us we can't, that you'll just bring those to our minds and we will quote them out loud with a spring in our step, and we'll be ready to, in faith, to, Father, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Help us to do that and be that today. In Yeshua's name, we dedicate this next 2 hours. Amen.
Amen. Hey, so, you know, just in case there's people out there listening in, Rick, that going, oh, yeah, really? Okay, so you're going to talk about happy things. I mean,
there's a lot of unhappy things out there. Right? There are.
That's like flower child stuff. And, you know, that's just ridiculous.
I like Pollyanna.
I know, right? But we're actually going to take this from a, before we even get into the Bible, we're actually going to take it into some common sense and even some scientific stuff to kind of let you know what we're talking about. And then we're going to move into the Bible so that you can see that the Bible wants us to follow within this path, right?
Well, yeah, that's why he gave us his words, so we can learn by the things that they did right.
Absolutely.
And we cannot repeat the same mistakes that they made.
Right.
That's why we need to know history. I wish somebody would have told me that, Roland. I would have been a little better listener when I was
So young. Let's talk about history.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay, so hang on tight. Okay, so imagine, and I'm bringing up this example because we were talking about it before the show, and I was telling you my experiences, but imagine you're out learning a chore as a child, okay? And an adult is with you, okay? And you're doing the chore. Mm-hmm. And the adult comes up to you and says, well, you didn't do this right, and you didn't do this right. Would you, if they kept going at you like that, what would be your reaction? I mean, what would you start thinking about as you're doing the chore? And do you think you would move forward in a positive way or start to move forward in a negative way?
Yeah, I'd be always probably questioning myself. Am I doing this the proper way?
Okay. So you second guess yourself?
Yeah, kind of. Instead of saying, you did this good, but have you thought of this over here?
Okay.
You know, I think there's ways that we can phrase, because we all do lots of things right, don't we?
Yeah.
And if we can focus on the things we do right and try to improve on the things that we need improvement on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all in the way we phrase
it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
When I was a kid, I had real trouble learning. Well, I was only like 10, and we were having to put up all this fence line, right?
Oh yeah.
And every time I did something wrong, I'd be made fun of. Like, you're
probably your older brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you did this wrong with the fence and you did this wrong with the fence. So even now as an adult, I second guess myself.
You question yourself.
Because all those memories come back. But then when someone said, hey, you did this super, way to pound in the nail this way.
Uh-huh.
So then I remembered, okay, this is the proper way to pound in, because someone said pound it in this way rather than not pound it in this way. So positive things helped.
Yeah.
Let me give you this little stat here.
Okay.
Just right off the – are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here it comes. This came from Dr. Andrew Newberg.
Newberg.
A neuroscientist at Thomas Jefferson University.
Okay.
Okay.
Must be back east somewhere.
And they wrote this, words can change your brain.
Words can change your brain.
So do you believe that?
I believe it.
Okay. So in this book, they write, a single word has the power to influence the expression of your genetic makeup.
Just one word?
That regulate physical and emotional stress. Now, this has been studied out.
Wow.
Now, listen to this. I mean, this is amazing.
This is.
You're going to love this, okay? Because it goes right along with the Bible, right? When we use positive words like, get ready for the words. What do you think they are?
Good job.
Okay. Love, peace, and loving kindness.
Oh, that sounds like the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, love, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I love all those.
Notice that even in, what is it, Proverbs, you know?
Proverbs.
And your loving kindness shall be everlasting.
Yes, okay. Loving kindness is better than life also.
I know, right? Okay, when we use those positive words like love, peace, and loving kindness, we can modify our brain functions by increasing, get a hold of this,
okay,
cognitive reasoning and strengthening areas in our frontal lobes.
Wow. So it literally affects
it
our
literally
brain.
Affects you.
The fun part of our brain.
Yes. It actually affects your genetic makeup. It can restructure you. Now, listen to this. This is amazing. On the opposite end of the spectrum, when we use negative words, we prevent certain neurochemicals from being produced, which actually produces stress.
So it's literally a neurological process that happens mm-hmm. with the words of boy, does that resonate with you folks out there? It does with me, because why do you always do that? You do that, you're never going to change. All those words of...
are garbage.
They're words of defeat, see? Yeah. Things are never going to change. Really? Hey, through him, all things are possible, see?
So when we allow negative words and concepts into our thoughts.
Okay.
Now, notice what they just said. These are scientists.
Yeah.
That are saying when we allow negative thoughts into our brains, we increase the activity in our brain's fear center.
Yeah.
And causing stress-producing hormones to actually flood our system.
Isn't that amazing? I mean,
unbelievable.
Literally, yeah, those negative words. So you think there is power in words, life and death, and they're in power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason his word says that, and it's true.
Because they actually can read it now in science.
And now
in
they have science,
and they can watch it happen with the brain. So get a hold of this. By holding, now notice these words that they use, holding and allowing. By holding a positive and optimistic word in your mind, you stimulate the frontal lobe activity.
A positive word.
Yeah. The area includes specific language centers that connect directly to the motor cortex responsible for moving you into action.
Boy, does that confirm what the word says? That words of life?
Yeah.
Are in the power of what we say. Words are so. I think we really underestimate the power of good words.
Of a good
words
word.
Of life,
love, peace, and
joy.
What, yeah, and so when I'm
joy
looking
and
at those
kindness.
Things, notice that the words that they use
all fruits of the spirit.
I know, right? Loving kindness.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we exemplify that, then we change people's lives.
It does. You know, I've heard people like Ron, this coach, and we have a member of the family, and this Christian man, he was a catcher, and I guess he was the umpire, but this guy would just talk to he was a Christian man. He showed kindness, and he just this really you don't really realize, Ron, the power of youngsters when you just affirm them and just show them, you know, kindness.
Yeah.
Like it says, love. What does it say? Love, joy, and kindness.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Well,
three words.
These are words. Love, peace.
Peace. Yeah.
Loving kindness.
Yeah.
And so
three of the fruits of the spirit. See, boy, does that testify? Even the scientists are testifying, confirming the word.
Confirming
and
the
we
word.
We knew that, but it just affirms.
It affirms
that even the world probably a lot of these people aren't even believers. Probably,
no.
I don't know.
I don't
just
know.
A thought.
You ever had a person come up? I actually had someone come up to me during the fellowship this last week. And they said, so what makes you guys different from anyone else?
Yeah.
And I had to stop and think about that.
You're talking about people at our fellowship, you mean?
Yeah. You know, so I had to say, okay, so what does make us different? Well, and I immediately thought of a verse. You know what that verse was?
No. What was it?
to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself.
He said those are the two greatest. You know, if we did that, we wouldn't need any of the rest, but we don't.
Yeah, so notice where it's sent. I'm going to love him first.
Love him with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind.
And then my neighbor as myself. So yeah. Am I loving my neighbor as myself if I constantly give them negative comments?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Do I love my children when I'm constantly giving them a negative statement?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the old, you ever heard the old sandwich, the bread, and give them a comment and then end with a positive comment and then a little words of encouragement and then end with a positive because that's the last thing they remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, words of life, you know, all those words of positive words.
I think
more powerful than we really realize, I think, Roland.
Yeah. Let me give you this one. This is funny. And I want to press this because I want people to know that this isn't just one study. Okay. So I look at all these studies. They're just amazing. But here's another one. A study done by the Positive Psychological Center further elaborates on the effects of using positive words. A large group of adults aged 35 to 54 were asked to write down three things that went well for them that day.
Three things.
Including an explanation of why. Now,
explanation of why they went well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but let's just stop for a minute. Let me just see what your reaction is. Usually whenever you run into a person, right, like at work, or going to church.
Sure, whenever.
And you'll say something like, so how are you doing today? And they usually respond like, oh, it's been a tough week. Oh, I'm tired.
Thank goodness for the Shabbat.
But
we made it.
I know, but no one ever says what they did well. Hey, Rick, man, I had a great week, man, and I want to tell you about it. And this is why I had a great week. No one really says that often except you.
Not just me, a lot of people.
Okay, fine. This exercise is also called the Gratitude and Appreciation Journal. Over the next 3 months, their degrees of happiness continued to increase.
Yeah.
And their feelings of depression decreased. Even though they had discontinued the writing experiment by focusing and reflecting on positive language, thoughts, and feelings and emotions, people found that they could improve their overall well-being and the functioning of their brain. So if I'm looking down and I'm writing down things, these are the things that went well for me today and why. Do we function like that even as a Bible-believing person? What do you think?
Hopefully we do, Roland. Hopefully people will see. I've shared the story with you a couple times. Just like that family that lost that little child swept over the falls. And this outsider saw how this family was able to
cope
with that loss of their little one.
Yeah.
And to bury that child, but they saw that peace that passes all understanding that outside of Yahweh, the Lord, if you don't have him, you really don't have a true peace, do you?
So what kind of positive words do you think they're actually sharing with each other to get through that? Well, I don't know. But do you know?
But you know what it is, Roland? They know they're going to see that child again. It's not final, see?
Okay.
The world, if you don't know where they're at, you know, if you think you're just going to become worm food, you don't have that blessed hope that his people have. And I love that because that's what gives us strength to face today and tomorrow.
So then a positive word would be something like, since Yahweh gave us this boy and he gave us that boy and he's the creator and he is with him and we will see him again.
We'll see him. I'm not downplaying burying a child. I only can imagine how difficult that would be.
Yeah.
Only those of you that have done that know how hurtful it would be and how you miss that child. But having that blessed hope that you will see them again in his kingdom. Hmm. That just like David said, remember when he mourned for his firstborn and Yahweh took him. He says, "Well, he won't come back to me, but I'll go to him one day." See, and that's when he shaved and cleaned up. Why did you shave now? Well, because he's gone now. Yahweh took him. Uh-huh. I'll go to him one day.
See, when you say these things like this,
that's what his word. That's why we.
Yes, but Rick, think about this. If you're a non-believer and you don't believe
you don't have that blessed hope
in the scripture, you might turn if I were to hear you say something like that, I would go, "Well, that's just fantasy. You don't know that for sure." But when I think of that, then I think of my opposite choice. So I have the choice to either stay positive or I have the choice to go negative. And what I just learned from science is that the negative is going to take me into huge depression.
Thank you.
Where positive takes me into uplifting.
Yeah, it pulls me out of that miry clay, see? There was another gal I had a chance to share with her, Roland, and she, you know, she just was negative. She's, "Oh, I don't believe in God." I said, "Really?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "That takes a lot of faith."
It does.
that everything came from nothing.
Yeah.
But I says, "You know, the thing is, you better really pray and you better make sure you have that one right."
Wow.
Because this little 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years we live here is a grain of sand in comparison to eternity.
Mm.
And boy, eternity's a long time.
It's a long one.
So you better ponder that, and you better have that one right.
Even if it isn't eternity, I think it can be even practical. Let me give you you know that I teach CPR.
CPR. Yeah, I've done many classes myself.
Yesterday when I was up teaching a class, there was this lady that was, oh man, she was grumpy.
She was not a happy camper.
No, she was in there because it's my day off and I'm not happy
and
to be here.
And I had to come in.
And I had
this
to come
class.
In here and do the class.
Sorry.
And I'm not happy. And she was in her like 70s and she was just upset. She could not put a smile on her face.
Was this required by her employer or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, but she was negative about every
she
comment.
She was not a happy camper.
No, and I kept looking at her and go, "You know, it's going to be my goal today to make you smile." Okay? And finally, there was an example about helping people and saving lives.
Right.
And I looked at her and I said, "You know what? I believe that you could save my life. You seem to know a lot about CPR." And
you turned it to a positive.
And
you I
bet you you could save me, and I want to be saved by you because I know that you would care about me. And you could see her.
Did she brighten up a little bit?
You could see her grumpy little face start to change over the next hour or so.
Her countenance began to change. She's, "Whoa, maybe I could save somebody."
Yeah, and then throughout the rest of the class, she started raising her hand.
So you saw a different, see that? Thank you, Father.
She would raise her hand, get involved.
He used you to bring her out of that negative countenance.
Well, it just is that I was determined to give her some sort of hope with positive comments and to get her out of her little whatever it was.
To get her focused. I mean, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know how to, you know, intervene if a person quits breathing and their heart stops.
Yeah.
To, you know, have a possibility. And most of them we don't save. You know, I was in the fire. You know that. I was in the fire service for 31 years.
Most of them you don't.
Most of them you don't. But a few we did.
Absolutely.
And boy.
That was joy.
Man, you thought, "Hey, this is why I do this."
This is why.
You know, and sometimes you forget when you're tired, you know, fourth call after midnight, you're just tired. But, you know, you're one of those, man.
Woo. Yes. So hang on tight, guys. On the next half hour, we are going to be bringing in some biblical examples of all the things that you can do as a believer rather than those things that you can't do. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can do it by calling in at
503-589-1220.
What are
call
things
in.
You can do versus things you can't do? All right. Stay tuned.
Me through the dark.
darkest night. Through the shadow of death, to the light.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. What a blessing it is for you to be here with us. And we are talking about words, things that we say, and how they affect us. And we're looking for those things that we can do versus those things that we cannot do. We started the first half hour with talking about from the science point of view, where we were looking at two highly successful studies mm-hmm. that talked about how a single word has the power to influence the expression of your genetic makeup and how it regulates both your physical and emotional stress. That is just amazing to me how it's supporting. And that there are three words that actually lift up a person's body, which is love, peace, and loving kindness. Rick and I have been having
better than life.
I know, right?
We used to sing a song.
So we've been having fun with this, and we're asking all of you out there, how can you, as a follower of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, what are the things you can do versus always thinking about the things that you can't do? How can you be involved in lifting up and giving positive words? This next half hour, Rick and I wanted to take you down a little bit of a journey and a conversation within the Ten Commandments, because many times we think, hey, those are all negative, but I think negative. We're going to find something else, right, Rick?
His
Come on.
Word is truth. His words are life.
If you want to become part of the conversation, you can at
503-589-1220,
and you can be looking in with us.
Or if you want to listen in, if you're going to be away from your computer, 605-562-9746. And you can, any phone, dial that number, and you will pick up the Wise Guys live.
Yeah.
Or any other show on Hebrew Nation.
I think this is an important topic,
it
Rick.
It is.
Because we have a world that's facing the biggest epidemic problem of depression.
You ever heard anybody say, have you ever had anybody say to you, Ron, what are you so happy about?
You're right. Why do you laugh?
What's up with you? And I think as you folks, and we've talked about this, somebody calling in.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pick them up on the air. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys. How are you? And what's your question or comment when it comes to things you can do versus the things you cannot do?
Hey, good morning, guys. This is the Red Man.
Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Red Man. Hey. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, I was one of them. I think really good parents, but I did hear that negativity all the time. And I think it's like they say it's like a record in there continually to play. And it seems to be, destructive or towards the negative.
Mm.
So
did it affect you, Daniel?
But turning it around is, it takes a lot of work, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And what we were looking at with the scientific studies, you're absolutely right. Negative words that constantly bombard us affect our very genetic makeup. It affects our body systems and our stress systems. So, yeah, it does take work. You have to start practicing giving a good word rather than a negative word, and that takes practice. So every time a negative word comes across, catch it, catch it, and throw it out, and put in a positive one.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. However, parts of me thinks of like Isaiah, how positive was it for him to be sawn in half, and Jeremiah thrown in a sewer, and all the stuff that these people went through. So it's like,
I know.
Are we taking this too far?
I bet you they would have done it again. I'll bet you, Dan. Think of it this way. Paul many times would say, I find my joy in the Lord. So did Peter. So did John. All those people who were being persecuted, even when he wrote letters, he said, praise continually on your lips.
Well,
in the midst of that.
Yeah, in prison, Brother Redman, he was in there singing.
They sang.
What a testimony, see? And you only can do that.
I think that's it, but there's, and maybe it's a sneaky pride, but I thought, you know, I don't want to look too crazy out there in front of all them people, because I'll just be constantly be singing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Big smile on my face or something.
Let me give you this for a minute, okay? There is a Hebrew word for kind and grace, okay? It's kind of interesting, and the definition comes from Strong's 26:17 and Strong's 26:16. But when we look this up, kindness and grace is described as being a refuge and a foundation. Now, put those two words on for a minute. Refuge means a safe place or somewhere to go, and a foundation, that means from everything that you give, okay? So if I look at that and I look at the picture of it, there's a flow of a natural affection like a stork, a sada, which is what it comes from. It's a foundational word. It means zeal toward anyone, love or kindness. It's used between people as a mutual benefit. So if I'm looking kindness and grace, it allows me to have zeal, which Paul and Peter and all of them had, okay? And it is a mutual benefit for them and for their captors. So take, for instance, if I use kindness and grace, it benefits me, because what's my other choice? Negativity and depression. So I might as well feed.
Kindness would be meanness.
Okay, right. That's the opposite.
Kindness and grace would be favor, would be not having grace or not having favor.
Yeah. And so, but if I give these out, I benefit my own soul. I benefit my own thinking. And I benefit those around me. So if I have a zeal for Jesus, Yeshua, if I have a zeal for him, if I have a zeal for God, Yahweh, and I let it be known, wouldn't my captors go, hey,
man, what's up with you?
Yeah.
Man, well, it's funny you ask.
Right.
See? And it gives you the opportunity, Redman, to, don't you believe that?
I think that happened with Joseph, didn't it, in prison?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And Father used that. And boy, yeah. What does he tell us? Those I love, I chasten.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight it. Don't fight the chastening of Yahweh, because we need to learn, don't we, so we can. Yeah, what did Joseph was in there? What, 2 years?
Didn't somebody tell me 29 years ago, that it wasn't going to happen overnight. 29 years. And
I know.
Going to be, well, in this battle or whatever, you know.
It just takes practice.
His time is always longer than ours. That's what I have found out during this 60 some odd years.
I have one more thing, and I really want your opinion on this.
Go ahead.
All right, brother.
Let's say a person, there's a congregate that corrected a person for, like, saying the F word.
Okay.
They're cussing all the time.
Okay.
And which I think is, you know, very biblical. But they did it very nicely and respectfully, and they were friends. Now say the same person is saying the word G-O-D.
Oh, are you talking about taking his name in vain?
Yeah. Why are we so concerned about all of man's thing and not following? This is part of my question, and I think it's just me. But why are we so concerned about keeping man's happy and in our language and stuff and our thinking? And we've read this in English. The word Elohim does not go to G-O-D from... Mm. It means powers or abilities, Elohim, El, from the German G-O-T-T. I have an old dictionary that says when the Christians came up to Germany, they were calling him G-O-T-T already. And so they just said, well, you can call him Yahweh Elohim Death. And it stuck. So it's a Christian idol is what it says. And so we're still cursing, I think, sometimes. And I just, I don't like how I have to deal with it. It's not easy for me to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did Yeshua minister to people that were not of an understanding of either names or commandments or anything? Did he minister to those people?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So then who sees the heart?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, that's what I say, Dan. We look at the external. We look,
but don't the Christian Sunday people say the same thing? Like, well, he knows my heart. I do Sunday and I do Easter ham and I do, he knows my heart. Don't you hear the same thing?
Well, again, if I'm your father and I'm watching you grow, and if I constantly want to move you towards growing more, am I going to keep encouraging you or discouraging you?
Encouraging.
I'm going to keep encouraging you. So I don't want to discourage you. And there are people that work within their own time elements. And again, if we look at the examples of the apostles ministering and of Yeshua ministering, he moved people according to their own time. And it seemed to be effective. In 1 Corinthians 13, what is the spirit of love? Patience, kindness, yes. Understanding, long-suffering.
Yes.
All those sorts of things we have to deal with, okay? So if someone, every person is an individual. If I keep hammering you over the head.
Right, yeah.
Then what good are you going to become? You'll just become another hammer, and you'll start hammering other people too.
Yeah, that
I was around this person one time and I couldn't believe it. They wouldn't seem to ever shut up. And I was like, is that what you do to other people? And I started cringing myself that I do that. And I, oh my.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mr. Redman, thank you so much for calling in. We love you, and we appreciate your call and your questions.
Hey, we are all, Redman, works in progress.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, none of us have arrived, have we? None of us. There was one, and he laid his life down.
Yeah, he did.
So, you know, we're all, and you know, I always say pan trib. Mm-hmm. When the Messiah comes back, he will tell us how he wants to be called and his pronunciation of his name and all those things. When the Shabbat starts, the calendar, all those things, and it will pan out.
It'll pan out.
Pan trib.
Hey, so let's go with what we're going to go with here today, which is Exodus 20, you guys. And it's kind of an important little book.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to look at this thing. And,
Set of instructions. These are teachings and instructions of the giver of life.
Yes. And the book of Exodus in the Hebrew is called Shemot.
Shemot.
This is kind of interesting.
Which what? Mean names? Is that what I remember? Yes. It means names.
So if I look at this thing, and I'm going to end chapter 20, and we look at the first command, or what we like to say in Hebrew, it's the first instruction.
Uh-huh.
Then Yahweh spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. And in Hebrew, I am your Elohim, who brought you out to the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.
So he wanted them to remember who he was.
Right.
And what he did.
So therefore, you shall have no other gods before me.
Because I brought you out. I am Yahweh that brought you out.
So is that the positive?
That is, yeah, that is making them remember. See, we forget, and he wants us to remember. That's why he says this. How many times does he say, I am the God that took you out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, over and over?
Put it in modern terms.
I am the Lord your God.
Who
brought you out
of bondage and slavery.
Slavery.
Okay, so if I look at bondage and slavery, how many of us have been bondage
to
depression, to sin, to drugs, to all these things, and I'm bound by them, or my own evil thoughts.
We all got to fight those.
And so he's telling me right off the bat, don't worship anyone else. Yeah. Worship me.
Worship me.
So my positive side would actually be, I get to worship Elohim. I get to worship him because of what he did for me.
You realize I call the creator of all the universe my heavenly father, Roland.
Yeah.
We are heirs of the giver of life of the universe. That is awesome to me.
So that actually leads us to the next ones, okay? Because I get to worship him. On the next verse, when it says, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not make of yourself an idol, then I'm going, okay, I get to worship you, and I don't get to worship something that doesn't make any sense.
Do you want to worship a block of wood that's been cut, carved in a, you know?
No.
Here he says half of the log you throw in the fire and get warm, and the other half you make an idol with. What's up with that?
I know.
And then you notice a small g on that.
I know.
You have no other gods before me. Small g.
So again, this is positive. Yeah. I get to worship something that actually works.
The creator of the universe.
Now let's take you back to the science part of this. We just learned from the science study that it's words like love, peace, and loving kindness that actually feed our brain and feed our genetic makeup.
It's food for our thought process.
Right.
It's nourishment.
So
it really is.
The amount of words that say love, peace, and loving kindness within Scripture are within the hundreds. The hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I get to read those words that are of life. And the next one, I shall not serve them. Oh, I'm going to show loving kindness to those who love me and keep my commandments. Interesting. I'm going to give you peace.
Yes.
Okay. So then the other one says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. You know, there's all different sorts of ways that we can look at this.
Just make his name ordinary. See, I think that's what he's talking about. His name is not ordinary. It's awesome and holy.
Why?
Why? Because he is the one and only.
To do what?
Yod Heh Vav Heh, our King, our Redeemer.
Why? And to do what?
He is our lifeline. He is our Redeemer, our Savior.
Okay,
is our Creator.
I love it. You're getting closer. What did he do for you, Rick?
What
did he do for you, Rick?
He took me out of I was wallowing in the things of the world. He freed me. He rescued me. And the thing is, he was my lifeline, see?
Okay, so
have you ever seen people that use his word as a club, Roland?
Yeah.
Instead of throwing the lifeline, they take his word and just club people with it. And they use it as a club.
But I want to get a hold of what you're saying. You said Redeemer.
He is my lifeline.
Did you say?
He is my salvation.
Okay.
He is the chief cornerstone, all those things.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If I say something like, well, I don't think God can actually save you, did I just take his name in vain? Think about this.
You made his name
worthless.
Yeah, ordinary.
Because
like any other name.
Because you just told me that he saved you, he redeemed you, he gave you a lifeline.
He was the life.
If I look at this text and say he can't do any of that.
That's your opinion.
Then in my opinion, I just took his name in vain because you just told me his name was powerful. You told me his name
holy and just and pure and righteous and good.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I believe he's talking about. And when he tells us, do not take my name in vain. Do not make it
worthless.
Like any other name.
Right.
And that's why, you know, it kind of makes me cringe when I hear people say, oh my, you know, just.
Well, that doesn't bother me very much.
It does me. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my,
but why?
It's my issue. I don't know. It just kind of makes it, they're just using, oh my, you know, if they said that, oh my Rick or oh my Ron. I mean, it's my issue, you know, and I'm not going to correct anybody unless it's maybe my grandkids. I'll try to share a good, I'll try to use that as a teachable moment.
But it's personal to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is, because his name is so awesome and good and holy and
see,
just
I always figure when someone's saying that I know
they don't mean it. Please don't. It's, there's no condemnation. Please, folks, don't take it wrong. It's my issue, and that's just me, and I'm flawed.
I don't think it's a bad issue.
I think to most people it's not.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. Sometimes we don't really realize maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like.
I'm not going to condemn anybody. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I'm not the one to do that.
I just find it fascinating that this is tied into him saving us.
So if
I look at the vainness of it, vain means, in fact, I do something in
vanity,
vain.
Vanity.
No. If I actually
different
do something
vanity.
In vain, doing something in vain means I do something that doesn't work.
Right.
It's worthless and it didn't really matter. And so when I'm saying something, do not take my name in vain. Well, he does matter. And he matters because of what he just told us on the first three commands. Mm-hmm. I rescued you, like you said.
Yeah.
I redeemed you, like you said. I threw you a lifeline, like you said. Mm-hmm. So when I call on him, I should expect that to happen.
Yeah, I was a captive and he set me free, Roland.
He set me free.
He gave me a reason to live. He gave me a reason to face today and tomorrow.
So what can
I
do?
Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Just ask my wife. But we're like I told our last brother that just called in, we are works in progress. We will not arrive.
Okay, so
until we get our new body and we
Rick, because we got to break this thing down.
Okay, I love this.
Because what we're talking about is what we can't do and what we can do. And if these are instructions, if I understand that to be true, and if you understand that to be true, okay, then what can you do knowing those things, those first three commands?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do as a Bible-believing person? What can you do?
Hey, I can serve the Almighty God of the universe.
Okay.
I can praise him. I can worship him. I can call him my Abba Father. Wow, I mean, that to me is just awesome, Ron.
And can you share it?
Even if somebody didn't have an earthly daddy and he knew the God of the universe, hey, man, I got the only daddy I need, the God of the universe that saved my soul and gave me a reason to face today and tomorrow. And I don't know it all, but he does. And as long as he knows, I'm okay with that.
So what I'm hearing you do right now is what you can do is you're witnessing to me right now. So what you can do, besides serving him, is
because,
you can witness.
Because his word is our words of life, see? I believe with all my heart there's a God-shaped vacuum in every man, and he is going to search. He is going to search until it's filled with him.
Okay.
And unfortunately, but, you know, he's merciful. That's what's so good. He's holy and mercy and just and righteous and pure.
Let's go to the next one.
Yes.
Okay, so this next one goes, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So
that's the fourth one.
So what can you do with this fourth commandment? What can you do?
I can do what my Heavenly Father did.
Which is what?
After he created the earth and the heavens and the earth and all everything in it.
You get to rest?
6 days. I get to do what he did. I get the rest.
Okay.
And Roland, what other king commands his people to set this day aside and to meet with me?
Mm-hmm.
There are none. There is no other king that commands us to set it aside. I want to meet with you.
Cool. So we got to run through two more before the break. Ready? The next one, honor your father and your mother. And we learned that honor means giving weight or value in the Hebrew setting.
Not honor your father if they're what you think they should be.
I'm just giving them value.
Yeah.
And I'm giving them weight. Okay, so what do I get to do? And what can I do?
I can honor them, even if they're sometimes a little insensitive to me.
Right.
And you know what it says will happen, Roland, if we do that?
We're going to be blessed.
We're going to have, our days will be long on the earth. That's the only commitment that comes with a promise. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Good morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys, and we're having a good time talking about positive words, how they affect your life, and all that sort of thing. In the first half hour, we talked about how science backed up that idea of how positive words actually change our genetic makeup. Mm. It actually affects your stress levels, where negative words take you down into a negative direction.
The miry clay.
The miry clay. And we're actually relating this to Scripture, and we're actually going to the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. or the Ten Instructions, and we're trying to make sense of all that on these are things that we get to do. The foundational question that we've been asking you in the conversation, what are the things that you get to do as a Bible believer, as a follower of Yeshua, as a follower of Yahweh, what do you get to do versus those things you can't? Now, to give you one more thing here to think about before we finish up with the commandments is, here's this crazy study, Rick. Okay, are you ready?
We need to hear it.
Oh, gosh. This one seems so out there, right? Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. This comes from a Japanese researcher.
Okay.
His name is Masuo Emoto.
Okay.
Masuo Emoto.
Okay.
He's a molecular scientist. Okay.
Sounds fancy.
You ever
sound
been a,
very educated?
I don't think I could do that.
It's not for most people, that's for sure. Not for most of us.
He was able to visually document molecular changes in water through photographic techniques.
Are you ready for this? I think I've seen some bits and pieces of this.
In 2005, he published a New York Times bestseller. It was called The Hidden Messages of Water.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know that most of our body is made up of water, right?
70%+.
Yeah. So Emoto demonstrates in his book that water exposed to positive words result in beautiful crystals. In fact, he took pictures of these through the scientific study method.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
Okay, which is just amazing. So when he used a word like love, gratitude, it formed this gorgeous crystal as he spoke into the water.
Is it like the waves of, as you speak it, the waves that go through the water?
Well, I don't know how he did this, whether or not he froze him after he spoke him or what he did. I don't get it.
What about the curse words? Did it say anything about those?
Well, it looks really bad.
It's kind of an ugly picture. I saw that. And I said, whoa. Man.
So I'm looking at the word like devil when he wrote it. And, you know, you devil.
And then, man, it's just
it came
an
up
ugly.
Really, very ugly.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what he proved through his studies that every positive word we read, write, or speak, what we read, write, or speak has a direct influence on our physical body or the water that makes up our body.
And that would be every language.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? All the languages.
Yeah.
So kind of amazing. I mean, what amazing study. I don't know how he did that.
Well, in the Hebrew side of things, man has this picture of moving water,
mm-hmm.
okay, which I think is interesting.
It really is interesting. I don't quite understand it, but...
Yeah, but if we're moving water and if we move negatively then towards others, then we're going to just expose more negativity.
Yeah, not do well.
But if we just continually speak words of life into somebody, which actually brings us to our next commandment.
Yes.
So the... In this commandment, we're on verse 13, you shall not commit murder. What's the opposite way of viewing that? You shall give life.
Life, murder, opposites.
Okay, so the thing that I get to do would be what?
No, I don't have to murder anybody. In fact, it's not good for me to do that. It doesn't, you notice it doesn't say kill.
Right.
Because there is a time to kill.
Yeah.
And there's a time to bring life, you know.
That's opposite. In Ecclesiastes.
Yes. So,
So I get to give life.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one, I shall not commit adultery.
Right, the seventh commandment.
What's the positive side of that?
I get to be true to my wife.
Yes, I get to be.
Yeah, I get to be. I get to love her and cherish her.
Which creates something that's kind of cool. I don't have to deal with the anger.
Yeah,
for a minute. Oh, I love this. Keep on talking.
Yes, so much blessing when you esteem your helpmate, your Ezer Kenegdo.
This is interesting. In Hebrew, adultery means the action of a strong mouth.
The action of a
strong mouth. It's an action or strong in mouth. It's the noon olive and pay, which is what adultery is spelled out like.
Wow.
Okay? So it's the action or anger, and that's what's coming out of the mouth.
That's what brings.
Okay, so if I'm in adultery, I get to experience the action of anger.
Real ugliness.
That does sound fun.
It does not bring out the best of one another. Wow.
But if I get to cherish my wife, then I get some positive. What's the next one?
Okay, next one is the eighth commandment, which is you shall not steal.
So what's the positive side of that?
Positive side, I get to do what's forthright. I get to,
I get to have a clean conscience.
Yeah. I don't have to.
I don't have to hide anything.
No, exactly.
I'm not a thief.
And again, that's blessing when you can do that.
Right.
You can watch that shalom, peace that passes all understanding. And the ninth one is...
Well, wait a minute, Rick. I mean, you ever seen someone who's constantly trying to hide what they stole? What does their face look like? You ever look at your grandkids when they steal something or they don't tell
them? They can't hide it.
I mean, it's in their countenance, right?
Well, and they're, you're always, I wonder if somebody found out. You're always having to worry. See, if you're forthright... Yeah. You can just walk in that peace that passes all understanding. I love that.
Yeah.
And the ninth one, you shall not
bear false witness
against your neighbor.
Neighbor.
Yeah, I tell my kid, I make it simple. Thou shalt not lie. So tell false witness against your neighbor.
Oh, my word. I want you to see the Hebrew word for neighbor.
What is the
Hebrew? Are you ready? It's the resh and the ayin.
Okay.
That means the person you see.
Yeah, he's your.
The person you see.
Okay.
That's the picture. So if I'm going to see them, if this is the person I see, why would I bear false witness against them? So if I see you, Rick, and I look at you deeper as more as a friend, as someone that I can rely on, right?
Yeah, especially in a time of need, a neighbor close by is better than a brother far away,
So if I bear false witness against you, that means I lie about you.
Yes.
Would I be able
to slander me?
Would I be able to look at you straight in the eye anymore?
You wouldn't feel quite as comfortable about doing that.
I know, right? So the Hebrew picture actually makes sense.
Sure it does.
You're the neighbor I see. You're the one I want to look at. But if I bear false witness against you, how do I look at you anymore?
You always got to be kind of sheepish because you feel guilty, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. That's why, it's freedom to walk in these instructions. It's freedom.
Yeah.
It's not bondage.
So I get to keep them.
What do you say? If you love me, you will keep these instructions.
Yeah.
Commandments. Yes. And when he said that, Yeshua, I think it's John 14:15, that there was no New Testament yet.
Right.
And all they had was the old. So he's talking about all the instruction, all the commandments of the Old Testament.
So I get to keep them.
So we get to keep them out of love for our king. If you love me, you'll do what I do. Just like, our children. We just so appreciate when they do what the instructions are of your home.
Maybe you want to become part of this conversation.
Yeah, maybe we need to hear from you.
At 503-589-1220. And we would love to know the things that you get to do being a follower of Yeshua rather than things you can't do.
Exactly.
I think it's an important message for today.
It is.
That we live in a pretty negative society.
Well, yeah.
Right?
But and as we show the positive, the words of life, guess what's going to happen?
They're going to want to know the Father.
Yeah, they're going to look and say, what is up with you, brother?
Yeah, what's your
source
of
happiness? What do you have? And believe me, as it gets darker and things start to crumble, they're beginning to crumble. But thing is, folks, it's not a negative thing.
Right.
The Father is going to allow us to go through these things to refine us. And I know I probably won't be quite as exuberant then as I am now. Yeah, I said, Father, help me. You know, I get that, but, you know, he's going to take us through one step at a time. And I love
one day at a time. I know, right? On the last one, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or his wife or his male servant, his female servant, his ox, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So what's the positive sign?
So, in other words, be grateful for what you have. Don't be looking around. I think that is such a trap, Roland. Mm-hmm. We're so busy looking at what everybody else, we don't count your blessing, our blessings the way we should.
So if I look
number
at you.
Number one, that you have decent health. Number one, you know, that you have your health. You can own it all. Hmm. Have all the stuff and toys and property and everything. But if you don't have your health, right?
Okay, so let's take a life experience. Because since you're talking about health, what would happen to you if you kept looking at me? Okay, and you would say to yourself, "Wow, I wish
I want to do what Roland does.
Yeah, wish I had his wife and his garage.
That's a trap
that he lives in. What would happen to your makeup? What do you think happens to your countenance?
The garage he's living.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that part till right now.
I know. What would happen to you if you kept doing that to yourself? Would you become productive yourself or unproductive?
It wouldn't be as productive.
Right, because you're constantly looking at someone else.
You gotta be grateful. You got to bloom where you're planted. Even if we're out in a tent somewhere, Roland.
Right.
If we can, you know, have a shelter and we can, you know, have a fire and get warm and we have a little light, you know, and we have some food. Man. Did I tell you the story about my friend that went on a missions trip? He went on a missions trip, Roland, and each child, it was a very needy village in Africa, and these little children, Ron, they'd get their little spoonful of their little cup, half a cup of food, and they were there, and the little kids would pull their plate up, and they were offering some of their little food. They only had a little bit, but these little children, you talk about, wow, touching, it just made my buddy weep.
Mm.
Because these little children willing to share the little bit they had, and they were still willing to share it. And, it, you know, that's awesome, Roland.
This is my life. This is what I have, and I'm going to share it.
And be grateful. I don't have a lot, but the little I have, I'll share with you.
When I was pastoring, I had gone out to a lady's home. She had three children.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't have much money. She was the sole income earner.
Sure.
And she made this wonderful dinner for my wife and I. And and I knew that she did not have fun.
Yeah, she didn't. And that took a lot of her
money just to do it.
To have that nice meal for you.
And her whole attitude was, you know, I'm just so grateful you came to visit us.
Thank you. Yes.
You know, and her life was filled with joy because she wasn't always looking at the negative. She was looking
around.
At, this is what I have. This is what the Lord gave me. Since he gave this to me, I'm going to share it. Pretty cool.
Beautiful,
attitude.
Beautiful. See, right? If we could all learn to do that.
Right.
And I think that's why he told us not to covet, see, what other people have and just to be grateful. Hey, I don't have much. You know, I have only a bicycle. A lot of the people I meet downtown, all they have is a bicycle to get around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're grateful for that little bicycle. Some people, all they can do is walk. They're grateful that they can walk. See, I think that's what we have to remember.
So if you're in your community and we're asking ourselves, what can we do as Bible believers and followers of God, Yahweh, Yeshua, what can we do in our community? You started to say it. What can we do in our community? You know, many times
you can just be out there and be a lighthouse and you know. Little acts of kindness, Ron. But if we are able-bodied and we just sit home and watch TV and say, nobody ever comes to see me, and we focus on the negative, it's a trap. Instead of going out, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to go over to the old folks' home and I'm going to pour coffee for those little folks at lunchtime. I'm going to make myself, you know, I'm going to be a light to somebody. He doesn't have as much as I do.
I actually just met someone. It was at a church fellowship, okay? Mm-hmm. And I met them, and they were telling me about how grateful they were and how they loved the Lord, and, mm-hmm. and they really wanted to serve him, right?
Amen.
Now, he doesn't know that this happened to him, okay? Afterwards, it was like a week later, and I'm sitting in a parking lot.
Okay.
He doesn't recognize my car because he's never seen my car.
Okay. So what happened?
He's honking at my car and putting his hand out and giving me the bird, right?
Somebody in our church?
No, not in ours. Is another place that I'd visited, right?
What?
And in my rearview mirror, oh. I could see who it was, all right? But I didn't say anything because I didn't want to embarrass him,
yeah.
Right?
You know, who we are is what we do when nobody else is looking. Isn't that true?
So, in our community, I think we've been given a lot of benefits as believers.
We have.
I think we can be a lighthouse by helping neighbors, mowing lawns, fixing fences. I think we can do things by helping out babysitting kids or parents that need help. I think we can help out by actually understanding politics and voting. I think we can help out by going things to like what you did, which was going down to the courthouse and making your voice known in a positive way.
Yeah, just standing standing because, yeah.
Daniel did it within Scripture.
Amen.
David did it. Joseph did it. Ruth did it.
And hopefully we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything. I don't have any gifts, Ron.
Really?
That's what the enemy wants us to believe.
You have gifts.
No, but I'm just saying I've heard people say that, and it makes me cringe because everybody can do something. Even if you're shut in and the Father brings somebody to your mind, pick up the phone and call them and give them a little word. Well, Father, I was thinking about you, and I said, I better call. You know, those little acts of, you know, yeah, it takes a little of your time. The greatest gift we have, Ron's time. We can save money. We only have so much time. So
when we look at this, how to become a person within a community, mm-hmm. I can look to 1 Corinthians.
Oh.
Okay. We can also look to Ephesians.
Okay.
And we look at this thing.
1 Corinthians.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6,
okay.
4, or 6:1.
6:1.
And let's look at this.
Okay.
Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you know that we shall judge angels? How much more matters of this life? If then you have law courts dealing with the matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are no account in the church or the fellowship? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? Actually, then it's already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Now, Paul's talking about brethren suing brethren.
Yeah, we aren't to take our brethren to court, are we?
Okay. So imagine what the outside community sees. And they're looking at this thing and they go, well, wait a minute. This is a group of people who believe about being positive and giving words of life and being able to uplift their brothers and sisters. But hey, look at them.
Look at them.
They're just like us. They're suing each other.
They're just like us. They're no different. Boy, heaven forbid.
I know, right?
You know, wow.
So the things that we get to do is we can take legal matters even among ourselves right here locally.
That's why he gave us his Torah, his instructions, he to help us navigate through these different, you know, there's always going to be difficulties in the body, especially with the ones closest to us. You know, fellow believers, fellow followers that are in our assemblies. So, he gave us instruction. I'm just so glad he did, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I love this next verse. This is in Ephesians 5.
Ephesians 5.
Okay.
Okay. 5 what?
It goes so well, even with chapter 4. Paul actually wrote this letter when he was in prison. Okay,
that's right.
And so we are talking about still being grateful.
He was singing and rejoicing.
And he even says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, the prisoner of Yahweh, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called.
There you go.
Okay, so he's even giving joy. Now, notice this in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, he says, be imitators of God as a beloved children and walk in love just as Yeshua loved you and gave himself up for us as an aroma. So things that I get to do. I get to go ahead and be an imitator of Yahweh.
Yeah.
How much fun would that be? I actually
That's a blessing. We, as his people, get to love others.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little difficult, Ron. I don't know if you've ever sensed that. It's a little difficult when you get lashed out at unjustly. Have you ever had that happen?
No.
Never?
All the time, dude.
Pastors are, that's where you got to have thick skin, you
gotta
know.
Got to have it.
Man.
I love you anyway.
You have to. I love you too, brother.
So what are the things you get to do in marriage? So, Rick, what are the things that you get to do in marriage? Do you know?
Well, we get to love our wives as Yeshua loved his people and gave himself on her behalf. See,
what are some of the small things that you do?
We get to nurture, show little acts of kindness, compliment. We all have things we do that we don't do as well as some things, but, you know, we do most things pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus on, and to compliment her and to strengthen her and build her up in the things she does right, and then and try to encourage her with the things she needs help with.
So we need to practice
being a
mirror. Notice how most talk shows and things like that will talk about these are the things that you should not do with your wife.
Instead of the things you should do.
Yeah. So rather than saying, well, don't speak negatively to her. No, say, I'm going to speak positive and I'm going to practice this over the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some interesting
things. That's what we're learning. We're all learning. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we're trying to learn. Hopefully we're getting closer. That's the goal.
There was a couple other things I want to bring up, text-wise.
Okay.
And I love these things. Even in Ephesians, in the New Testament, just so people know that the New Testament substantiates the old, chapter 6 starts right off. Hey, children, obey your parents. You get to obey them, okay? Honor your father and mother. Give them value.
That comes
that
from
it may
Exodus
be well
20th.
With you, all right? And even in 4, fathers, bring up your kids in discipline and instruction. Discipline means things that we get to do. You ever seen a parent that says, hey, let's go out and weed. Man, it's going to be a ball.
Let's go.
You and me, we get to talk.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of the weeds now. They're not going to hurt you. Just pull them up.
Just pull them up. Okay? We get to go paint the house. We get to clean up the house. We get to wash the dishes.
Yeah. I think how you look at it, that attitude is so important.
Yeah.
Not I have to do that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is family time. We get to do this.
We get to be together. We get to chat and get closer to one another, and we get to be together.
So is this all too lovey and feely for all of you out there?
Absolutely not.
Evidently, it must be. I'm not getting any calls coming in. So you can call in on the next half hour at 503-589-1220.
We need to hear from you, please. Give
us experiences on how positive words changed your life. Maybe that's what we should be asking you. How did positive words change your life? Or maybe how did negative words affect you in a wrong way? But I would rather look at, give me one example. Give us one example of how something came into you and you went, wow.
Like a thing when you correct a child sometimes, you know, you're a positive boy.
Mm-hmm.
Start to act like it. You know, I mean, you're a good boy. Start to act like it.
Yeah.
You know, not that you're a bad boy. No, you're a good boy. Act like it, you know, and just how we deliver things, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
Don't go away.
listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
About that.
Yeah, Roland forgot to turn the mic on. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
You're back with the wise guys, and we're having a good time talking about positive words and how they affect you. We've been looking at science, and we've been looking at the way you can look at scripture, which is a positive way. Now we're going to get kind of specific, okay? And some of these might affect you. I know it is affecting me right now.
Yeah.
But notice how, Rick, that we've talked about how words speak truth into our life.
Yeah,
they actually speak existence. We learn that through water. We learn it through genetic makeups.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned it through the scripture. Have any of you said these words? Are you ready to try them on?
Let's hear them.
Oh, man, this situation is just impossible.
Or you're impossible.
I'll never be able to figure this out. I'll try, but. Oh, it's just such a nightmare. I can never go visit that group or fellowship because they make me nervous. I don't like what they say because everyone is like blank.
Yeah.
Everyone is an idiot. Or
they're all the same.
Everyone sees this about me, and I don't know if I can handle it. No one ever around here listens to me.
All those negative words. You just don't have a good feel inside, do you?
Are you feeling that?
Oh, yeah.
Are you picking that
up? That'll drag you right down and back into the miry clay if you had a steady diet of that.
We need to avoid the absolutes. We need to reframe our thinking.
We do.
And start catching ourselves through the day whenever we say those words.
If we feed on his word, our minds will be renewed. They'll be refreshed, restored. And when you hear words like that, it wars against our faith. It does.
Wars against your heart.
Wars against everything, our identity, see?
Do you know the Hebrew word for heart, what it means? It's a lamed and a bed.
Okay.
The heart controls your inside. Okay? So the lamed means control. Bet is the house. Heart, whatever controls your house. So my question to all of you out there today, what's controlling your house?
Yeah.
Is it positive words or negative words? Are you controlled by fear? Are you controlled by things that want to downplay others? Oh, man, we need to check this out, I think.
I think this is important stuff. This is stuff we have to really, I think, have our minds. We have to know for sure what we believe. We have to know who we are. I think it's an identity thing, isn't it?
We
have to know who we serve.
Yeah.
We really have to know that we know. And if you don't know, we're going to be tossed to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven forbid, because it's going to get a little more intense.
Are you saying that if we don't practice this,
we could
be tossed to and fro, and by putting negative thoughts, that could move us towards something called doubt?
Yeah, unbelief. Yeah, it's doubt is unbelief.
That's what you're saying. So,
yes.
So negative words, if we keep living them, I'm going to not look towards the Creator, and since I'm not looking towards the Creator, I could start doubting the Creator.
You will start to doubt Him.
This is a domino effect.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing that happened, Roland. I was just reading this morning, Jill and I.
Yeah.
And Isaiah 36, and it talked about the king of Assyria.
Okay.
And the king of Assyria, I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit. It's a long
chapter. So but give it.
I'm going to paraphrase it. But he sent his men out.
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, dude.
Uh-oh.
Hey, let's pick him up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And what's your question or comment for us about what we're starting to talk about? Yeah.
Hey, king of Assyria. You guys, this is so intense. This is amazing. And I don't want to worship you guys, but this hero worship. But you guys got to be really humble as a teacher. But this is huge, I think, what you're bringing out right here.
So yeah, it is.
I wanted to call in again because nobody else could call in, so thanks.
Well, thank you for listening,
thank
sir.
You. Yes, you know, because, appreciate it.
Yeah,
glad actually, you're there. We're, sometimes we wonder, anybody out there?
and Rick, where does it say we will not arrive?
We will not a what?
We will not arrive.
Oh, you're talking about
I thought Yeshua said we did arrive, right?
No, we will not arrive until, I mean, I'm talking about in the fullness of, I'm just saying, in these bodies, we're not going to gain perfection.
Well, where does it say that?
Well, it does say, be there perfect as I am perfect. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Right.
But because if we ever arrived, if we ever truly arrive, where we become perfect.
Enoch.
Yeah.
Elijah.
Yeah, we'll no longer be in need of a Messiah.
Yeah, but what?
No. What is Yeshua? We still need salvation.
Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah, because what is the question? If I'm in my own mind, thinking that I have arrived and I am perfect, then where is the need for the Messiah?
That's my point.
So basically, if I think that I need him constantly, even if I'm arriving, even if Enoch was arriving. Did Enoch realize something? Yes, Enoch realized that he was nothing without his
Amen.
Creator.
He is our identity.
So that humbleness is what it's all about.
Yeah.
We cannot take our next breath without him.
Correct.
Amen, brother.
So
he is our
gotta
everything.
Be there.
No, I hope I didn't misconstrue that. I didn't mean to, but hey, I'm just saying, we're not going to arrive.
Guys,
we're not
so going to
arrive until...
I just signed off on stage two of this 28-year, four-year thing I've been working on here.
Good for you.
Yes. Well, bless you, brother.
I think it's like having a baby, I think, sort of, or something. I don't know.
Hey.
Keep teaching, Rollin. Keep teaching. The Hebrew is amazing. Okay, so we got to lift up Yeshua, not Rollin. So I'm not lifting up you, but I'm giving thanks, okay?
All right, man.
Thank you for giving thanks. Bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Right. Have a great
Shalom. Yeah, so back to Sennacherib. Okay, Sennacherib sent his men out there.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, nice.
Hey, we have another call in. Thanks for calling in, and we will get to the king of Assyria. Good morning.
Yes.
Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. What's your question or comment for us?
Well, good morning. Yes. Oh.
Good morning.
I'm so much enjoying your discussion this morning.
Oh, praise Yahweh.
And you wanted something that is personal?
Yes.
Example? Is that what you're asking?
To where you experienced positive...
In understanding how you view things?
To,
is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, to where you experienced positive words affecting your life.
Okay, well, I live by myself, so I don't experience positive words except from the Father. But I just recently, I have to say that I, I got a little less energy than what I normally have. Looked out on my beautiful property and saw it just overtaking. The weeds were overtaking. Everything was overtaking.
Oh, I can relate.
And I was going, I can't get out there. I can't do what I want to do. And I panic inside. Okay, now the Father knows that I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm learning from about myself and from Him, slow down, relax, give it to Him.
Mm.
And as I recognize again, as I put it in his hands, little by little, he takes care of the issues.
Mm. Okay.
And he has been doing that little bit by little bit. No, I'm not going to conquer the whole thing all at one time. And no, it's not going to get all done at one time. And hey, it's just going to have to be. And I got to be contented in whatever state I find myself.
So you are
learning to be content in whatever state you find yourself. It's not always the easiest thing to do in our humanity, but it sure solves a lot of issues.
Okay, so what was the positive word that you gave yourself?
It's okay the way it is. I can be contented. He'll show me what I need to do step by step.
I don't have
to panic.
Okay, so when I heard you speak, I'm thinking, okay, here's the property that I'm living on.
Yeah.
That many people don't have a property to live on.
That's right.
So then if I were to reframe that myself, I'd be saying, thank you, Father, you gave me a piece of property to live on.
And I do say that every day.
Yeah.
And so, but because he also gave me the job of stewardship. Okay, Father, I'm not being a very good steward right now, but hey, you're going to teach me how.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let's see if we can work through this.
Okay.
Notice what you just said. I'm not being a good steward. So how is that speaking words of life?
Well, I thought... Now, I might be thinking wrong, but I thought that I just can be happy with whatever it turns out. I'm happy I'm here.
Okay, so if we were to reframe it, and I'm only giving you a hard time because this is what came up, and you're the only caller that called in other than Mr. Redman. But if I'm looking at practicing, changing our thought patterns,
yes.
Which is... I'm not being a very good steward, or we could say I'm being the best steward I can be at this time. Thank you, Father,
thank you.
For doing this.
Yes.
So that's reframing it. And notice
many times
we always look at the negative,
yeah.
Okay, which is I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. And that would be speaking a negative thought, which actually affects our genetics. It affects our front lobe. It affects our water system. It affects everything about us. And so then we're met with stress.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I can actually look at it differently and go, well, I'm being the best steward that I can be.
At this particular time.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Yeah. Donna, I think we all, those of us that have property, all struggle with the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's growing so fast, especially this time of year.
Yes.
It's at the top. Another month, it'll slow down, but... you know, yeah, you just got to look at the positive. Thank you, Father, that we have a piece of property and we can.
Oh, my, yes.
And we can live in it.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Thank you.
Yes, Roland, thanks very much. That's a really good thought there to being the best I can at the time.
Yep.
Amen.
Hey, so blessings to you.
Thank you for calling in, Donna. Bless you.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, yeah. So to go back to the king of Assyria,
all right.
He sent men to put doubts to the people that were on the wall. And he says, what makes you think that we took all these different cities, all these different kingdoms? Don't trust Hezekiah. Do not rely on his counsel because it's going to fail you.
Oh, so the attackers were saying this.
Yeah, and Hezekiah told them, don't even respond to him.
Don't
even listen to him.
Okay.
And see, for us, that's going to apply to us too in the future. When it does to now, we have people that are murmuring back there. Don't listen to those guys. I know what happens.
Yeah.
And, boy, you don't want to surround yourself with those kind of people. And if you're around them, you sure don't want to listen to them. So the point being, the guy says, if you go with us, we'll give you a man. We'll give you your own. We'll give you everything you need. Just don't listen to Hezekiah. And then they went to Hezekiah, and I'm going to read this little part.
Go ahead.
And they went to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah tore his clothes. And then in Isaiah 37:15, Hezekiah prayed to Yahweh saying, Oh, Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherub. You are Elohim, you alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see. Hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living Elohim. Truly, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria had laid waste of all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Yahweh, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Yahweh, you alone. Then as it goes back, and then he goes and he prays, and then down to the end of 37, 36, and it says, then the angel of Yahweh went out in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when the people arose in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass as he was worshiping the house of Nesrach, that his God, that his sons, Aramelech and Shearzar, struck him down with a sword and they escaped. Bottom line, Roland, we're going to have doubters that come, that bring discouragement, that try to take us down. And like Hezekiah, King Hezekiah gave him the wise counsel, don't listen to him. Get away from them, and because they're going to try to bring doubt. Our nations, our leaders are going to try to bring doubt that is not from Yah. I almost say if all the masses are doing it, if all the masses, you know, they want to bring nationwide vaccinations to all the people. If everybody's doing it, you better run the other way. If the masses are doing it, you better go the other way. That's my take on it.
What I'm loving about what you brought up is that we were talking about how negativity can move us towards doubt. And what the picture I was getting when you were reading that is the history of Sennacherib, which is one of the biggest generals at the time.
He was mean.
He would come into cities.
He would destroy
them. And he would surround them by size.
Mm-hmm.
And he would convince them inside that they had no hope. They had no hope. So it wasn't just with Hezekiah. He would do this with all kinds of kingdoms.
Oh, he did. Okay? And that's what they were saying. We took down this kingdom, and if I would have read the whole thing, you would have seen that. He had took down all the – he says, what makes you think
– that you can stand up against
– Hezekiah is going to lead you astray, he was telling him.
Right. And so the same thing happens, I think, today
with our assemblies.
Well, not just assemblies, but we're talking about the world that doesn't want to believe in God.
Even nations.
Okay, which is saying, you don't know anything. He can't change your life.
That's right.
He can't make you walk on water. He's not changing the fish and the water to wine and bread. I mean, he isn't doing those miracles anymore, and he's not coming anymore, and he's not listening to you anymore, and he's not going to hear you anymore.
I know.
Okay?
All those negative words.
All those
Don't listen to him. Go back to the Word and read these stories. Remember, little David, shepherd boy, said, Goliath, that the world may know that there is a God in Israel. And he took the lion, he took the giant down, see? And to remember these, you guys, to do the things that they did right. Hezekiah went to his face and brought it before. He laid the petition out, the letter that Sennacherib wrote. He laid it before the Yahweh, and he prayed. And Yahweh heard him.
I'm going to give you this example here
because
you're inspiring me to go back
excited.
To find out what is actually stated about turning your world around.
Yes.
Get a hold of this and tell me how it relates to what you just said.
Okay.
And what we're told to do in Scripture.
I need to hear it.
Okay. So in order to change our paradigm of changing negative to positive, what do you think the first instruction is? Here it is. Hold yourself up powerfully. Now listen to this.
And how do we do that?
Your posture, your facial expression, the space you take up. Stand up tall, shoulders back, a light smile on your face, and plenty of eye contact with people around you.
And know who you serve.
Thank you.
Know who you serve. See, folks, we are set apart people. We are, but we have to know that. We had a brother come in. The biggest problem is to overcome is our mind.
Yeah.
To not be moved by what we see, but moved by faith. Be moved by faith and not by sight.
Well, the thing is, I mean,
see?
Think of this. Okay, Rick, let's talk about biblical examples. Do you think Joseph stood up tall?
I think he was. I think he did a lot of the time, but I think when he was in prison, I think he sometimes were. But I think he rose up.
He rose up.
He was victorious.
Do you think the friends of Daniel, when they were told
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
when they were told to bow and kneel to another god, do you think they stood up tall and looked people in the face?
And he looked up and he says, "Hey, we will not serve you. Our God will rescue us. But even if He doesn't, we won't bow down to your."
So they stood up tall. They looked at people in the face. So when I have Yahweh as my king and I serve the living king, then shouldn't I stand up tall,
should we?
Shoulders back, look at people in the face,
say,
smile on my face.
For me and my house, we will serve Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh,
yeah.
The king that sent his son Yeshua.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's who we are. Roland, we are children of the king,
mm-hmm.
The king of the universe. Do you realize how huge that is?
So no negative talk coming out of our mouth.
No.
Oh, no, this is impossible.
Oh, no. You're going to hear it, folks. We are going to hear that kind of talk and get away from it. Say, hey, I rebuke you. Our God can do all things. Uh-huh. That's why we have to be in this word. We have to know what it says. And it's because it's truth. It was truth back then. It's truth today.
Second one, and I was just bringing it up with the last caller, learning how to reframe our words. So let's practice getting rid of these words. I can't, I don't, I won't. Instead say, I can through the power of Yahweh.
Yeah.
I am a child of the living King. I will serve and I will serve those around you. I choose to walk in His paths and I choose to follow His commands. I love others because the Father loved me first.
Amen. I can do all things through Yeshua,
right.
Messiah.
The other one here on the number three is, please, you guys, avoid those absolutes. Okay, so when you hear people talking like,
I never, I can't, I won't.
Or you hear
they
something
always,
like, yeah, those are complete idiots over there. No, you know, they know it.
Don't listen to them. I've heard them. See, that wars against our faith, those negative words. Just you saying, remember back 10 minutes ago, you were given all those negative. Man, it just really clashed with my spirit.
Doesn't it get dark?
It was junk.
Well, your water inside your body
started
to crystallize.
I think it was starting to boil or something. It just wasn't doing me well at all.
The other thing is, you know, don't apologize for who you are.
Thank you.
Okay?
Exactly.
I am a child of the living King. This is who I am.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a child of the living God. See, we have to know who we serve. We have to know who we are.
I like
our identity.
I like this other one. Express commitment. Now, I think this really gets to our heart because many times people don't want to commit anymore. You ever feel that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I am reading right from science and also from the word, but right now I'm reading from a writer that talks about turning your life around.
Mm.
We even know this from John Peterson. John Peterson is a sociologist from up in Canada.
Okay.
And he talks about how we've started to lack commitment. We don't give ourselves over to something. We don't say, hey, I'm going to support this and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to give commitment. That starts changing our makeup as well.
Yeah, you bet it does.
So rather than being flighty or like what you said, becoming what, like the waves being tossed?
Yeah, tossed by the waves of the yeah. I mean, we don't want to be tossed to and fro. We want to know who we serve. We want to be anchored on the rock of our salvation.
So listen to this, and it happens in the simplest way, and I only have a second. Here's a voicemail message. Please leave a message. I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. I'll try to get back to you?
I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
No, I will get back with you.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a different level of commitment. Life.
Darkness must flee from the living word.